Beloved radio friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom we believe and are confident that He is coming again, how soon will He come? My beloved, let me just speak the words that He said from His own heart and with His own lips. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We present to you the solemn reality. We have a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming back to the earth. What a vivid contrast will be the purpose of His coming when He returns to that first advent of our beloved and blessed Savior when He came to the earth through the virgin birth and at Bethlehem. May I quote the words of our beloved Savior, which declared without any hesitancy and full revelation why He came the first time. I quote them from John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. My beloved, may I impress upon you the reality of the purpose for which He came at His first advent. He did not come to judge. He came to save. He did not come to condemn, but that the world through Him might be saved. Beloved friend, we raise the question, have you been saved? Have you ever raised the question in your own heart, from your own lips and your own soul? What must I do to be saved? Well, did the jailer at Philippi cry with fear and trembling and under deep conviction as he fell at the feet of Paul and Silas the apostles? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Rightfully did they answer, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. My beloved, let me emphasize again, the Lord Jesus came at His first appearing to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, so that you, by faith, trusting the Savior and His atoning work on the cross, might be saved. Many years ago, in my early days, we sang a lovely little chorus with the children. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not come alone to seek. He also came to save. And when we call Him Savior, we call Him by His name. Have you never noticed in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, when the Lord Jesus came into Samaria, when the woman at the well met the Savior and witnessed of Him to her people, following the visit of the Lord Jesus for 2 days in that area, they said of Him, He is the Savior of the world. And may I say to you, my beloved friend, unsaved He is. He's still the Savior, and He wishes to save you. Have you trusted Him? But then, the theme of our study that we are taking up relative to His second coming, when He comes again, He's not coming to be the Savior of the world. He's coming to be the judge of all the earth. Long ago, He appeared to Abraham, as you may read in the 19th and the 18th and the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. And when He appeared to Abraham and revealed His purposes regarding Sodom and Gomorrah, and its possible, and it was an inevitable destruction. Oh, when Abraham had it revealed to him and realized what the Lord had come to do, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? My beloved, let me say again, that was the blessed manifestation, the theophany of the blessed Son of God appearing in human form to Abraham with a special revelation. But oh, my beloved, when He comes back to the earth, not only will it be an appearing to one man, all the earth will see Him, all the earth will behold Him when He comes back to be the judge of all. We have noted His own declaration. We have noted the confirmation of the apostles in their writings. They spoke of him and presented him also by divine authority and the inspiration of the Word of God to state, he is to be the judge of all, and the certainty of his coming to be the judge, it is irrefutable, it is irresistible, it is absolutely and positively a fact. My beloved is coming. May I repeat with no apology for this repetition, for we are all dull of hearing when it comes to the truth of God. And especially is it difficult to reach the conscience, the heart, and the soul of those who know not the Savior. Their mind given over to sin and Satan. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that see not. And the God of this world, Satan, would blind you, my beloved sinner friend, unsaved, that you are all right when you're all wrong, if you've never taken Christ as your Savior, and would blind you to the fact that Jesus came to save you, and that you need him as your Savior, and he would blind you to the fact the Lord Jesus is coming again, and he's coming to be the judge. Now, we raise the question in our consideration today, the competency of the judge. Is our blessed Lord Jesus Christ the competent person to be the judge of all mankind? For the magnitude of this task is far beyond our present human comprehension. I would like to bring before you the words of Daniel the prophet, when in a vision that was given to Daniel, the vastness of that great coming scene of divine judgment, the greatness of the judge, the multitudes who will stand before him, was revealed by the divine spirit to Daniel in a vision. Now listen to the solemn words which Daniel has written. I read them from Daniel chapter 7 verses 9 and 10. Daniel writes, now listen very carefully. Listen to the greatness, listen to the vastness, listen to the amazing wonder of this scene. Daniel says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, earthly thrones were crushed, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued to him and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. My beloved, I say frankly, the magnitude of this scene of judgment which was given in the vision of Daniel is beyond our present human comprehension. Who can indeed comprehend the myriads? Who will in that day minister to him? But beyond those who minister to him, we find there are 10,000 times 10,000 who will have to stand before him. Oh, the judgment will be set. The myriads who will stand before him in that day of judgment, it is an impossibility for the human mind, or even the mechanical computers of human science, to even measure. There is no hesitation upon the part of any believer in the Word of God to frankly confess that the whole human race, beginning with Adam and going down to the end of time, will someday meet the judge, the one whom Daniel describes as the Ancient of Days. It is a divine appointment, my beloved friend. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter if you think that you can evade meeting the judge face to face, you're wrong, my friend. You'll meet the judge of all the earth. You may be rich, you may be poor, you may be great, you may be small, you may be educated, you may be illiterate, you may be moral, you may be immoral, and regardless of your race or your creed, you will meet him. For every one of us will meet the judge, the one who is the Ancient of Days. Now again we raise the question, who is he? Who is the Ancient of Days? His garment white as snow, hair like pure wool. You only need to go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, read verses 13 through 15, and in the light of the context which follows in that chapter, you will find complete evidence that this Ancient of Days is none other than Christ, the Son of Man himself. John the Apostle sees him in a vision there, and upon seeing him as such, he falls at his feet as dead, with fear and trembling, and wonders, could this possibly be the same Jesus on whose bosom he had leaned at the table in the upper room? Oh, yes, it was. For the Savior speaks and says to John, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, my beloved, you see him as the administrative judge. He's got the keys of eternal destiny when he comes again. My beloved, we raise the question, is he competent? Beloved, he certainly is. May I point out very frankly and faithfully, there's a twofold competency that we can never deny. First of all, there is the competency of his great and glorious deity. He is God himself. Very God. Omnipotent. Omniscient. Omnipresent. All the aspects of deity dwell in him. But he is also competent by his sinless perfection in his humanity. The perfect Son of Man. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Both of these qualifications, the glory of his deity, the perfection of his humanity, prove him to be the worthy judge of all the earth. But beloved, are you ready to meet him? He'll judge you righteously. But if your sins are not forgiven, sad will be your eternal destiny. He's got the keys of hell and of death. Father, bless thy word to sinners, we ask, in our Savior's name for their salvation. Amen.